you say a lot of things about the parents, and I appreciate Michelle's words at the end there, that it's much more when God calls parents somewhere, it impacts the children. And when I was a little older than Grant, I moved to Germany, new place, when I was about Mackenzie's age, going into junior year of high school. I moved to Minnesota, and so I know how it is. I know it can be scary, guys, but like Sister Michelle said, you guys are going to rock it out. And I have, we have some gifts for the kids. Now, I want to explain this one and tell you what it is. Mr. Grant likes to come drool in my office, kind of just creeps in. He's like, "Hi, Pastor Phil." I'm like, "Hi, Grant." He's like, "I like your Legos." And the other day, a couple of us were in there, and he comes in, as usual, "Hi, Pastor." I'm like, "Hi." He's like, "You know, like, I really want to touch that one." And so, Grant, we bought you that Lego that you want to touch. You can touch it all you want. And so if you would come, and then Mackenzie and Maddie, we also have a gift for you guys. You guys come on up as well. Amen. Let's give it up for the kiddos. Amen. And we want Pastor to come at this time.
The kids can just stay up here. And this is always a hard thing to do because I feel like I hate doing this. Rick and I have been so close. And I remember a long time ago in the fellowship hall, we had a conversation. And you weren't for sure where God was calling you in life. You were not involved in children's ministry yet. I just encourage you to, wherever God calls you, to do your best. Give your best. And he has done that, along with his wife and his family. We call him Rick. A lot of times when we're working, Rick and I, we've worked on a lot of projects together, from the campgrounds to projects around here. We call him Bulldog. Tugger and him, I think they come out of the same gene pool. But Rick and Nicole Solberg have been an extreme blessing, and this family has been an extreme blessing to this church. And we'd like for Nicole to come up here. We'd like for Rick to come out here. We've got a... Now, when Rick gets to South Carolina, I told him his first thing he has to do is find a motorhome park where that he can park and that we can park right alongside. Because up at camp, their camper's been right kitty corner from our camper for many years. And we're actually at such a valued spot that we're going to be auctioning it off to those here at Calvary Gospel Church. And right now, it's getting up there in price, so you want to turn your bid in. And speaking of, okay, you want to, is that all right with your mother and father-in-law? Okay, all right, Brad and Michelle say it's a good deal, $5,000, we just sold it. We'll split that with She's for Christ. Okay, you can turn that in. And speaking of Kirby's beard, I don't know how many of you know this, but he was born with that beard. Okay, that's why it's such a big deal for him to shave it off. So, but anyway, it has been such an honor to be able to be a part of your life and your life be a part of our lives. And I feel that even though you're leaving, that we're still so intertwined because this is God's body, this is God's kingdom, and you're just taking what you've learned here and you're taking it to a home missions church in South Carolina, and you're going to continue what God has raised you up and taught you and where he's brought you here, and you're going to spread that all over Richmond, South Carolina. Greenville, okay. Is Richmond there too? Okay. All right. Which one's closer to the ocean? Anyway, God bless you, Rick and Nicole. We've got a little gift to help you along the way, but we appreciate you so much. Rick will be preaching tonight, so we'll let Nicole.
I don't even know what to say, which all of you know that's shocking. I just want to thank all of you for everything you've done for me, growing up here and the time you've invested in me and all your kids, trusting them with us. And just, I'm taking you in my heart. And one of the things I pray every day is, God, whatever it is you want us to do down there, let's get it done so we can come back. So hopefully it'll be faster, but we'll see. We love you guys so much.
Thank you for everything. I'm going to miss all of my family and friends here. We have so much family here. So I'm definitely going to miss you guys.
Thanks, and I love you guys.
I don't really know what to say, but thank you, everybody.
God bless you. You can just step down, but you can remain standing if you don't mind, because we're going to step into our offering. If our ushers could come at this time, tonight is Building Fund. And I just want to make some acknowledgments here. It's great to have our CIP. I see some of them that moved on me back over to this side. But God bless you all. So great to have you here. Also, if you could just remember, I forgot to pass this on to Sister Linda, but the Burrell family, they've had a death in the family. And Sister Darlene called and asked if you would pray for her and Sister Betty. They usually sit right back down over here in the front. So just pray for Darlene and Betty Burrell and their family. And also, it's so great to have our new presbyter from Section 3 here. Woo! Brother and Sister Jacobs, what a great couple they are. They are incredible, incredible people. And we're going to pray for this offering. You can get to shake hands and greet guests and such. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. We ask you to bless this offering. Lord, our building fund, our regular tithing and offering, we ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon Brother Rick tonight as he brings forth the word of the Lord. Bless this family, Lord. Bless this church. Bless each and every one of us. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We'll take 5 minutes. We're a little behind here, but Rick's preaching, so I told him that your offering is based upon how long you preach, with bonus points for minutes under. I'm just messing, okay? I'm just kidding. God bless you. If he would come at this time, this is not his last message. It's not like Jesus in the Last Supper. I don't like goodbyes, because sometimes goodbyes are goodbyes, but I don't feel that this is really a goodbye as much as it is a God bless. And we love you, Rick. Appreciate you. God bless you, brother.
As he nervously opens his iPad. Praise God. So many great things have been said here tonight, and I'm so appreciative. I know my wife and children are so appreciative. You may be seated. I just want to send a big heartfelt thank you to all of you at CGC. I don't like the attention, so to speak, up here, but I just want it, you know, I look at it like this. You know, everything that was on the video and every friend I made here is a testimony of God's goodness in my life, and I appreciate that so much. And I just want each and every one of you to know that you're a blessing to me and my wife and my family. And so with that said, I have the mic now, and I just want to say a few words briefly before I start in my message. And I just you know, just a couple of things, a couple of people here, and I'll try to be brief. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know your time is valuable, and I appreciate you coming here tonight with us. But, you know, you are who you spend time with, right? Like, you hang out in the bars, you hang out with scummy people, guess what? You're going to be like those people. But if you allow great people to spend time with you and speak into your life, you know, you're going to reap that. And the Bible says you reap what you sow. So who are you going to let invest into your life? And with that said, I just want to send some gratitude, little clippets, to a couple people who mean a lot to me here at this church. First and foremost, I want to thank our great bishop. I thank you for teaching me to love God's word and its principles, and your unwavering example through the years has spoken volumes to so many. Thank you, Bishop. Appreciate you so much. And Pastor Roy, I want to say thank you so much for believing in me, investing in me and so many here at Calvary Gospel Church and around the Wisconsin district. You're such a personable, approachable type of person, a giving person, a passionate person who puts God first. Thank you so much, Pastor. I have a good friend here. He's also a mentor in my life. He speaks in my life, and I appreciate him for coming here tonight. And he's also, like Pastor said, our presbyter, Brother Scott Jacobs. Your friendship, you are a friendship that flows with deep wisdom, brother. I want you to know that. You've wowed me with your teaching at Purpose Institute, and so many of my brothers here who have sat in your classes can amen to that. And you've challenged me through your spiritual disciplines. You've constantly challenged me to be a better father and a husband and a man of God. And I appreciate you, brother. Brother Chris Jansen, you're here somewhere. There he is. Brother Jansen, I want you to know that you make being in the ministry fun. I have served under Brother Jansen and Brother Owens in the Wisconsin district as a Section 3 Children's Ministry rep for 3 to 4 years now. And I love every minute of it. And I want to say that, Brother Jansen, you bring the party to the party, all right? In all seriousness, you do show that you can have fun serving the Lord and doing ministry. Amen? Praise God. And that's something that we all should know. And you know, if you're in a ministry and you're not enjoying it, maybe you need to reevaluate, because God doesn't want us to be unhappy. I have a dear brother here, Brother Jim Rivest. You've taught me to give, and not just in my finances, although Brother Jimmy has been blessed by God, and he's very humble about it, and he's such a giving person at this church, and I thank God for that. But he's also taught me to give in love, and he's been such a great father and a godly example, you know, talking about his kids, never said a bad word about his family, just always lifting them up. So I love Brother Jim Rivest, and I have a couple other people here. I just want to acknowledge briefly who have spoken into my life. Sister Vicki Oliver. He's not here with us anymore, but Brother John Russell. I appreciate Brother Russell so much. Brother Richard Thomas. Brother Richard Thomas, if you don't know him, get to know him. Let him speak into your life. He's such a good man. Brother Brad and Sister Michelle Clock. There's such a great value in somebody who can listen to you and just help you sort out some thoughts and just be there for you. And I love Brother and Sister Clock for that. And our CGC Sunday School team, I thank God for every good teacher that we have in this church. We have awesome teachers. They say that behind every good leader is a great team, right? And I want you to know that this team has made me look good for a long time, and I don't deserve that, but you know what? These people are such a passion. They have such a passion and a love for serving in ministry and ministering to the children, and I love that, and I thank you for that. I want to thank my elders, Brother Rossing, you know, all of our elders here, but I just wanted to call out Brother Rossing, you know, because now it's going to take less people here to change that light bulb now that I'm leaving. You know, because we're the Norwegians, so I don't know if you've ever heard the joke, but how many Norwegians does it take to put in a light bulb? One to hold the bulb and two to turn the ladder. So, but now with Brother Jerry Simmons here, he can do it more efficiently. So, but no, I thank God for my elders. We have such great elders here, and I just asking our young people, that's a resource that you have available to you. and take advantage of that. Don't just think that, oh, they're old, I'm young, there's a big buffer there. But you know what? They've been down every journey that you're looking ahead to, and they have such resources available to you, and take the words to heart that they give you. Praise God. I want to I put down my parents, but also my wife's parents. She's not up here, so it's not fair for me to say this just to my parents, but both of our parents have spoken into our lives through the years. I thank God that my parents drove here all the way, 3 hours, 2 hours, whatever it took them to get there, depending on which way they went. But you know what? My parents have been such a blessing in my life, and I thank God for them. And my wife and kids, you know, God's, like Pastor Phil said, this is our calling, and our kids are just along for the journey. And sometimes that doesn't seem fair, but, you know, I thank God for my kids who are willing to go with us and be passionate about that, except for Grant, obviously, in the video. He says, bye, Mom and Dad. And ultimately, I thank God for my CGC family, all of you. Here at CGC, I say family, and I don't use that loosely. I can individually go around this room and to so many of you who have connected to more than just a friendship, but we are family. You know, that's the beauty about becoming part of the family of God. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you become the bride of Christ. And if you have never received the Holy Ghost before, God has something for you in store for you that if you'll let him, will be such a great experience in your life, and he'll give you so much more than you'll ever known that you could have. Praise God. So thank you, CGC. And with that, I just want to go a little bit into talking about where we're going. I titled this, You're Going Where? Because that's what we hear a lot. Where are you guys going again? Our journey to Greenville, South Carolina. So many years ago, I came to know the Lord at this very church. I met a man. His name is Big John Repka. I'm not sure if he's here tonight. There he is. Big John Repka, thank God for him many times over. Because Big John Repka was the one who shared the gospel to me. And Big John Repka was the one who challenged me and provoked me to get into God's word. And when I started coming to Calvary, it was right here that I started to seek God for the Holy Ghost. And I started, when I received the Holy Ghost, it was right here behind this wall in that very baptismal tank that I was baptized in Jesus' name. It was right here at this very altar where I married my wife. It was right here at this altar where I dedicated all my children. They were all born at St. Mary's Hospital. So I have a love for Madison, Wisconsin, and I believe in what God is doing here in Wisconsin, the revival that God is bringing here. And I know it, and praise God for that. But several years ago, God put a call on our lives. I remember going into a Wisconsin district camp meeting, and Bishop Putnam stood up there, and he called for people who were willing to go. And my wife and I stood there, and we went down, and we said, God, we're willing to go. No matter where it is, you will send us, you know, hopefully somewhere with air conditioning and comforts. But you know what? I think many of us have made that comment to the Lord along the way. You know, you think in your mind, oh, what if God sent me, or am I willing to go? And many years ago, we started going to South Carolina. To my brother lives down there, so we go down there to vacation. And God started dealing with us to come down there. And we questioned it because we do believe in the revival that God is bringing to Wisconsin. We do believe in what God is doing here at Calvary Gospel Church. I believe in the harvest that God is going to send this very church and our pastor's vision and dreams that God has shared with him. Praise God. But in that said, I believe that God ordains our footsteps, amen? And I believe that our footsteps are being called in a different direction. And for that, for what reason, I'm not sure, but I know that I want to obey God, amen? Because when you obey God, that's when the blessings continue to happen, and God's, you know, just talk to Jonah. Praise God. So God began to, you know, as we continue to question some things, God started to close certain doors in our, around us, and without being too revealing of some of the things, you know, we were transitioning out of our home and going into a different home, and every time that we would go look at a different place, doors would be closed, and it didn't make sense. And so we just kept praying about it and praying about it. And one day, we had made the decision up to that, you know what, we're going to stop ignoring this and we need to get serious about this. So I went to a staff meeting. I work for the church here at Calvary Gospel Church. And I went to a staff meeting, and in our staff meeting, we meet in here for prayer, and then typically we go to the back conference room, and we have our meeting. And after the meeting, I approached Pastor Roy, and I just said, "Hey, Pastor, you know, do you have any time for me today?" And he said, "Man, I'm really busy. I got all these meetings lined up today." And I was like, "Oh, okay, you know." And he's like, "You got something pretty heavy on your heart, don't you, bro?" And I said, "Yes, Pastor, I do." And that meant the world to me that he said, "Let's step into my office right now." And I thank God for a man of God who was sensitive to hear, you know. And so I went into the pastor's office, and I started to tell him about what I feel that God has been giving to us and telling us, and the direction that God is trying to send us. And I thank God that Pastor's patient, because my words sometimes, you know, as it comes out, it didn't come out too clear. But, you know, through that, I just started asking him to pray with us about it. And I turned to Brother Jacobs and a few other mentor people that I value in my life, and we just asked them to pray with us. And the feeling didn't go away. In fact, it grew stronger, and just feeling that God would send us to Greenville and that call to prepare. And I was telling Pastor about that. You know, Lord, I just feel there's such an urge to prepare, that there's something that God wants to do. And so a little bit about Greenville. Greenville County, the population, there's 500,000 people. And that's 500,000 souls that need to hear about Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. And there's a good brother down there named Daniel Westbury, and he started a missions church out of, he's from Louisiana, and he felt called to go there, and we're going to go and help brother and sister Westbury. And it was at this family camp that either Brother Jerry Jones or Brother Harold Hoffman said, you know, that the Bible Belt is no more. You think of the South as being part of the Bible Belt. But you know what? The more we go down there, the churches are just empty, and people are just not really on fire for God, and they need to hear the truth. Throughout that whole city of Greenville, throughout that whole population, there's only two small churches there. That's only two small voices speaking into the city about God's word. Amen. So we need to go there, and I'm asking that we don't go there alone, but that you will please go with us through your prayers. So with that said, thank you. So I love preaching to our children. I've had the honor of preaching to children at this church for about 20 years now, and our kids have been great. Many of our kids have grown up, and some of them are married and in this room and have kids already, so that's how long I've been a Sunday school teacher. And the cool thing about preaching to kids is if you mess up at the end of the class, you just hand them out some candy, right? And they love it. So you're always a hero in the eyes of the kids. But you know, I'm in here tonight, and I believe that I have a word from God, and I want each one of you to please minister with me, to please preach with me. I have a word that I believe that God has given me to share with someone in this place, and the title of my sermon is called Born Again. Again. So I just want to pray before I start. Lord Jesus, I love you, God, and I thank you, God, for the opportunity to serve here. And God, I pray that you would give, Lord God, let this word, Lord God, that I believe you've given me, Lord God, resonate in the hearts of every man and woman in this place, Lord God. Let it meet somebody who needs to hear this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Amen. Praise God. I'm so thankful for Pastor Seidel preaching last Wednesday. I don't know if, you know, he knows it or not, but I feel like what he ministered about goes hand in hand with what I feel like I'm called to minister tonight. Pastor Seidel spoke about sin separates and love reconciles. Excuse me. So if you have not heard that message, you can go on to, I believe it's on our website, and you can listen to that message, but it was a very good message about turning your heart to God, and that the time is running out. Amen. But as so many of my sermons that I like to start, I always like to start in the book of Genesis. In Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created." Not Muhammad, not Buddha, but God created. Amen. And it's important that we remember that God created, because it's too easy to go out there and start listening to other voices, and they'll try to swear, you know, get everything all messed up and scrambled in your mind, and they'll start to say, well, if God created, you know, or you know, this is what I heard or whatever. And you know what? We need to get into the Word of God, because the Word of God is able to solve all your problems, and we need to follow the Word of God. And the Bible says that God created. Praise God. And the Bible goes on to tell us that God created man in the image of God created he him. God made man, and you know, God made many things. The mountains, the seas, everything that we know to be beautiful. Some things that we don't even take, we take advantage of a lot of God's creations. But you know what? God made all of this for us. And if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God, the reason he created you, the reason he created you was because he loves you, all right? So if you're here today and you're questioning whether God loves you or not, he does love you. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life." That's John 3:16. God loves you. God loves you. Amen. But over time, God's ultimate creation, which was man, messed up. Just as many of us have messed up, man messed up. Adam and Eve were in a perfect garden. They had nothing wrong, but then in came temptation. Just like a lot of us, we get tempted by things around us, and we mess up, right? It's just real. So we try to, like Pastor Seidel said on Wednesday, we try to hide our mistakes. We try to cover them up. But in the end, we just make things worse. So the fall of man happened. Man's sin, Adam and Eve removed from the Garden of Eden. And if you continue to read through the Bible, man had its ups and downs. One king or one leader would come in and turn the people back to God, and you're just like, yes, you know. But then you'd read the next chapter, and they backslide again. You know, so man is always battling with this sin problem that we have. Amen? And man even thought, you know, what if, you know, we're constantly trying to scheme and twist and make things, you know, go in our favor. Man thought, what if we had a king like everyone else, right? Then everything would be fine. You know, following after God, that's been great. Listening to the high priest, listening to God has been great. But, you know, we need a king. So the book of Samuel, if you've not read it, is an excellent book. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible because it's better than a movie. It just has such action. And but you know what? This is real stuff in the Bible. So God made man. Man had its ups and downs. And then they created a king. But that didn't make anything any better, but it made things worse. But you know what? Ultimately, God still loves his creation. And God made a way that we can be back with him. Amen? So God came to the earth, robed in flesh, as Jesus Christ revealed himself to us. And he made himself the sacrifice for us. Now, in the Old Testament, they had a tabernacle. And they would carry around this tabernacle. And in the tabernacle was a special place. It was called the Holy of Holies. And that special place, no man could go to, right? But the cool thing is that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, there was a special veil that was very thick and very big that separated man from the presence of God. And the Bible says that that veil was rent into two, okay? Now that signifies that we can have an open relationship with Jesus Christ. That means that at any time, you can just go wherever you are in your life and close your eyes or just pray out, like Sister Linda was saying tonight. You know, you can just call on his name, and he's there. How cool is that? You know, the Old Testament, they didn't know that. They had ways of, you know, they would have to go through the high priest. But that veil was torn, and we have an open relationship. And later on in the book of John, there was a man named Nicodemus who came to Jesus, and he was inquiring about, he had a question for Jesus. So we read in John chapter 3, he was a Pharisee, a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus is blown away by this. He's like, what do you mean, be born again? Did you not hear what I just said? And Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? You know, he's really perplexed by this question or this statement that Jesus has said. And Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. For the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You must be born of the water and the Spirit. If you're here today and you've never received salvation, you've never received, been born again, you know, and sometimes we throw around this comment, oh, I've been born again. You know, you hear people say that. What does it mean to be born again? Well, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you've never been filled with His Spirit, this is something that you can experience here tonight. Praise God. And later in the book of Acts, we learn about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. And the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. Now I kind of like to reckon that story into my own testimony. I was born in Texas. I don't know if anyone knows where that is. It was a little twerp. I remember growing up in Texas. I have two older brothers. And, you know, we never had a lot of money. Thank God my parents are here to hear this. But we had a lot of love. And my dad was a hardworking man. And he worked hard for everything that we had. I remember going down to the creek that we had in Texas by our home, and we used to take a piece of string and we put some chewing gum on the end of it and stick it down in a hole. Does anybody know what we're doing? Fishing for crawdads. That's a little poor man's shrimp there. But I remember as a kid, we would run around in Texas, and then one day my family moved up to Minnesota. Times got tough in Texas financially for us, and so my dad had a lot of family up in Minnesota, so we moved up to the motherland, fatherland, would it be? A lot of Norwegians up there in Minnesota. So there I learned a whole new side of my heritage, lutefisk and lefse. I never had lutefisk, thank God, but lefse's pretty good. I don't know if you've ever had it. It's like a potato tortilla. You put some sugar on it, it's pretty good. But rosettes, anyone? No? I don't know. All right. But, you know, living in Minnesota, my parents, they took us to church. And we lived growing up and going to church, but we never had the truth, all right? Just like many of some of us here today, we had a form of godliness, but, you know, there was a piece missing. And over time, we moved to Madison, Wisconsin. I actually lived in South Carolina for a season. A company, my dad took a job working for a company that moved us around, and it was based out of South Carolina, but he was the rep up here in Wisconsin. And eventually he took a job with Marshall Erdman in Wanakee, Wisconsin, and so that we could settle down and have a little more stability in our lives. So I thank God for that. And in that, after I got out of high school, I started working at Marshall Erdman, and I had met Big John Repka. But before I did that, I remember one time we rented a house out by Lodi. Funny story, my wife and I lived literally one street away from each other, and Jessica Rivest went to school with me in Lodi. But I thank God that I never really knew her and she didn't know me, because I was a different person back then. And I probably would not have had a chance to marry my wife. I'm not going to say I was bad, but don't talk to anybody I used to know. But anyways, no, I wasn't that bad. I was terrible. But you know what? I remember one day mowing our yard out in this country home that we were renting way out there. And we had this Dixon mower that we were mowing with. And I remember just being out there. And when you're mowing the grass, you got nothing better to do sometimes but just to pray, right? Or to sing or whatever you're doing, because nobody can hear you. So I started to, as a young man, started to really think about God's goodness in my life. And I remember that it was on a lawnmower in Lodi, Wisconsin, out in the middle of this nowhere area, that I was mowing, and I just started to think about God's goodness in my life. And I remember that I started to get really emotional as I started to do this, and I started to pray. And that was the first time that I can really say that I've actually felt God's presence. Hello? I actually felt God's presence was in that field. And, you know, it really taught me something, because God really started moving. And why did God start moving in my life? Because I started to show appreciation for the things that he's done in my life. So that taught me a valuable lesson, that no matter where I'm at in my life, if I really want to connect with God, all you got to do is start with thanksgiving. Amen? So if you pray and you're feeling, you know, like a dry spot in your prayer life, just start thanking God for the things that he's done for you. Praise God. I'll send you the bill later. Just kidding. But you know what? I did come to this church. I was baptized in Jesus' name. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And I started to get involved. And it was a life-changing experience for me. Over time, my parents came into this church, and I thank God for that. And they were baptized in Jesus' name. They got involved. They were working with our CIP ministry and other things. And my wife and I were heavily involved in our children's ministry. We started out in bus ministry, actually, door knocking, meeting people. That was an incredible experience. A lot of work, though, but it's an awesome experience. And over time, I started to do something that I think that a lot of us have done here. You start to kind of slack on your prayer life, all right? And this is where I'm kind of going into the born again, because I started to get comfortable in my where I was, and I started to miss the relationship piece, all right? And like so many of us, I found myself living the blessings but forgetting the blesser, okay? I'm just being real tonight, okay? So over time, you know, we've all heard the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, we love this story because we can kind of relate to it. We love the part where the prodigal comes home. But I couldn't really relate to this story, because if you don't know the prodigal son story, there was a man who had great possessions. He had these children, and he loved his kids. And the kids, one of his sons came to his father and said, "Hey, give me the portion of my inheritance. I want to go out, and I'm done living here at home." It's probably a teenager, I would imagine, right? Because that's how teenagers do, right? So this teenager went out, took his possessions, and the Bible says that he wasted them on riotous living. He got a bunch of friends together. As many of us know, friends will help you spend your money quick. But when that money's gone, the friends are gone too. That's how you find out who your true friends are, right? But this boy came to his mind. He came home, and his father welcomed him back in. And this story is an awesome story about God's love. And if you are floating around out there, maybe you've left church, maybe you're running from God, you know, God has a spot for you and he wants you. But sometimes you're maybe not like the prodigal son. Maybe you're in church and you're going through the motions. You're kind of stuck going through ministry and everyone else kind of sees you, but maybe you're empty on the inside because you're not taking the time to pray and you're not taking the time to read your Bible and you're not taking your time to recharge those batteries. And it's so important that we do that. So important. When I was a kid, we used to play this game. We used to play this prank on everyone. We'd take out a piece of gum, and we would eat the gum and then wrap it back up like nothing ever happened. And we'd go to our buddy, and we'd try to give them a piece of gum, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, man, what's a piece of gum? You know, so they'd take it, and they would realize that there was nothing there. And that's how we can be, you know, empty on the inside. But, you know, over time, if you continue to live like that, it becomes harder and harder to come back. You can find yourself in a spot where you're just like, I don't know what I'm going to do, right? So the Bible says that Jesus went into the temple and he overthrew the money changers' tables, right? I don't know if some of you don't know the story, but if you read in the book of Matthew, and I believe it's in Mark, there's a story in there, it's a little blurb where Jesus actually went into the temples and there were people and they're selling, you know, offerings and things to the children of Israel. And Jesus, the Bible says he got angry about this and he overthrew these tables. And, you know, the Bible also tells us that your body is a temple. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. And Jesus went into the temple and he overthrew these things. Now, to me, this is a sign that your body is now the temple of Christ. And when we go to him, we need to get rid of the junk that's in there, right? The things that we're allowing to come in and be, you know, happen in our lives. So we need to repent. Amen. And true repentance, we have to give up everything. The Bible tells us that Saul in the book of Samuel, he was chosen to be the first king. The Bible says that he was heads above and shoulders above other men, that he was the strapping dude. He was the perfect pick for the job. But you know what? Saul, when he came to a battle against the Amalekites, Saul was told to wipe out all of the Amalekites. But he didn't listen, and he didn't take out the king. And I like to liken that unto sometimes in our lives, God tells us that we need to get rid of all of our sin, all the junk in our lives. But sometimes we try to hang on to that one thing that where we see a value that we can show as a trophy or whatever it is. So here we are, we're trying to find your way back to God. And then I believe that God has given me this word for somebody in this house who is trying to find their way back. I know there's a child, a story in the children's books called Hansel and Gretel. And if you know the story, it's a simple story where there's a young boy and a young girl, and they leave little breadcrumbs so that they can find their way back. And the Bible says that the word of the Lord is the bread of life. Amen? So we need to take a little something from that and say that when we're finding ourselves in a lost place, we can't find our way back. We need to turn to the bread, amen, to the word of God. Praise God. But we need to be aware of the big bad wolf, because he's going to be out there trying to mislead us and take us away in a different direction. But you know, we all stumble. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. You know, we all fall down. We find our place in our lives in places where we fall down, but we need to get up again. And that's what separates the men from the boys, so to speak. You know, if you truly love God, you're going to get up and you're going to run that race again. Praise God. And there's a story in Genesis 32 that we read about a man named Jacob. And in that story, Jacob finds an angel of the Lord. And the angel wrestled with Jacob. And sometimes in our lives, we have to, when we want to get back with God, we got to wrestle with some things, right? And in that story, Jacob was changed forever. The Bible says that the hollow of his thigh was touched. and he walked differently the rest of his life. And I think that sometimes when we wrestle with God, when we actually touch God, or when God touches us, we walk different. Our lives are changed forever. And that's when other people start to notice and see you in different ways. Amen? Praise God. And if our musicians could come at this time. But Jesus said in John chapter 15 that I am the vine and ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And if you could please stand. Recently, my daughters and my wife went to the farmer's market. And I went to, met up with them. And we were going to go somewhere. And they came home with some of the best sticky buns that they have at the farmer's market. If you've never had them, they're great. But my daughter came in the car, and she had these big sunflowers that she had gotten from the farmer's market. Now, the thing about sunflowers, when you look at them, they're beautiful, they're radiant. But you know what? It doesn't take long, and those flowers start to wilt away, right? Because they are cut off from the source of life, okay? And I started thinking about that. You know, sometimes in our lives, we think that if we want to take control, we want to cut off from God and just take control of our own lives and that we're going to be okay. But as soon as we do that, we start to wilt. We start to get deformed in our own lives and things just start to kind of fall apart. But Jesus said, like I said earlier, that he is the vine. And you know the cool thing about a vine is that's where the life flows, okay? That's where the life flows. And he said that you are the branches. So Jesus is the vine and you're the branch. The life flows through the vine into the branch and bears fruit. Praise God. So if you're struggling here today, maybe you're feeling like you're that wilted flower cut off. Maybe it's been a while since you prayed. Maybe it's been a while since you've opened your Bible. Maybe you've kind of been hit or miss on this. You know what? The cool thing about God is he's a loving God. And I said that in the beginning, that God created you. He created you special. He loves you. Sometimes the enemy will come in and he'll try to tell us that no matter where we are in our lives, that we're just nothing, and he tries to hold us down. But God does love you, and he wants you to succeed. And he always has a spot for you at his table. So praise God. I want to encourage you, if you've never received the Holy Ghost, you can receive it here tonight. You can receive it at this altar. This altar area is open. This is the altar area up here. You can come up here and you can repent of your sins and you can surrender your life to God and God will change you and you can be born again. But I also want to reach out to somebody out there who's feeling a little run down and a little, you know, things they're feeling a little unloved. Maybe you're feeling like, God, there's no way that you can have that connection again in your life. God wants you back. Amen. He wants you back. And whether you want to come up here in front of everyone or just find a place in your car on the way home or wherever it is, I don't care what it is, but get right with God. Okay? Because there is a revival coming to this city. And we don't know the hour nor the time that God is going to come back. But we do know that there are things in the Bible, that in the book of Revelation, that have to happen in order before God comes back. And all of those things have already happened. He could come back at any moment. And the Bible says it'll happen in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Praise God. So I want to encourage you tonight to please come find a place to pray. Find somebody to pray with. If you need the Holy Ghost, this altar area is open. Once you come, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being the vine, Lord God, in our lives. Help us, Lord God, to plug in and reconnect, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus.
What a moment you have brought me. God.
Come on down to the front. Come on down to the front. Give your heart to God.
You're the healer who makes all things new. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Make your way on down.
What a moment you have
brought
me to such freedom. I have found in you, you're the healer who makes all things new. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not going back, I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you.
What a great God.
My past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life.
God, what a great God. Just pour your heart out to Him.